Well, I am Kathy Hicks. All of you guys know that. Worship leader here at Grace. I've been here for about 5 years. It's been a privilege to do the absolute most favorite thing that I like to do in the world, and that is worship. I don't know if you know that. My second most favorite thing is to share a word from God. And I pray for that God's going to give me a word for his people, and I love to be able to share it. And our pastors here are so gracious as to allow me to come and share a word that I feel like God, it's for all of us, really. And the title is, What Are You Feasting On? And obviously, this is somewhat of a symbolic type of message, but I looked up the word feast and the definition. I love 1828 Dictionary. If you haven't used that, you can do it online. You just type it in, and it'll give you the biblical definitions a lot of times. Noah Webster created this dictionary. Anyway, a little plug for Noah. But yeah, feast. So feast was a biblical, they had a lot of feasts in biblical days, right? You can see the king here serving everyone. It was days and days. There was lots of things laid out on the table. Sometimes they celebrated their religious festivals, like the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of Weeks. There were so many. And people came together. It was a crazy time. Sometimes it was a big party. For us now, right, when I say feast, I always think of Thanksgiving, right? And gathering your family together, we get all of our five kids and their spouses and their friends, and we have a huge feast. Lots of choices on the table. They can eat whatever they want. They can pick what they like. They can leave what they don't like. And so to me, a feast is just a fun time of choices. Now, in the Bible, there is Psalm 23:5. There's a lot of symbolism. And we just sang this, right? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And to me, that is a feast that God's provided for us, right? And you see, like, God's protection, his nourishment, his triumph over adversity, and our confidence in God, right? That we are anointed. And that's what the symbolism, you know, of a feast is to me. But when you think about what is on the table, I used to work with women in my cohort here. We used to work together, and we had a women's ministry, and we would speak over women, and they would come in with a lot of things from their past, just like Lisa was talking about. And we would work with them, and we would release them from that past, and they would walk out a new creation. And it was so glorious to see how that works, how God works, right? He works through us. And what I used to teach the women that I worked with was, yeah, we have a feast before us. This table has been presented there. And some people come, and they put stuff on your table that maybe doesn't belong there. And, but before I talk about that, let's talk about Daniel. Daniel had a feast placed before him, right? The king had this beautiful feast. And Daniel said, yeah, that I can't eat that food. That food is not good for my body. And most of you know that I'm an exercise queen. You know, I love to exercise. I love good food. But there's food that we shouldn't put in our body. And that's the way Daniel believed. And so he had a feast that he had his access to that he shouldn't eat. And sometimes that is our case, right? In a symbolic way, we do have a feast, but sometimes people put stuff on our table that maybe shouldn't be there. And let's talk about that, right? What would that be? You have a choice between, someone has placed love on your table. Well, God, right? All the fruits of the Spirit are right there on the feast, right? We could pick those things. I used to tell my ladies that I worked with, yeah, you were offended. You don't have to pick that up off the table, right? It's there. Somebody laid offense down. You could choose offense, or you could just choose grace or love. You could choose God's part of the feast, you know. So we have choices, right? And I feel like when we are given the freedom not to choose what someone else has put on our table, laid before us, then we can change how we behave, how we react. And that's really what this message was. I have been studying Wendy Becklin, and I give a plug for Wendy. Wendy has been one of my afar mentors. I don't know if she even knows it, but I taught from her book. I have studied Victorious Emotions. Steve Becklin, I listen to his stuff all the time. So I just am plugging those people because they will change your life. But Wendy wrote this, or she has this Bible study, and it's called Feasting on the Spirit. And it is amazing. It's 28 days. And I did that. And Pastor Phil's teaching on living in the Spirit. And I'm like, yeah. God was like, yeah, let's talk about feasting. What are we feasting on? And so that's really where this message came from, straight from God. And so we have different areas or different time zones, I'll call it, that we can feast on. We can feast on the past, the present, or the future, right? And how I came to realize where I was feasting, which time zone I was feasting in, I read the book, The Shack. I'm giving a lot of plugs for, like, these are life-changing things for me. I don't know have you guys heard of The Shack, right? You've seen the movie or you've read the book. Okay, great. Well, Paul Young wrote The Shack, and I got to meet Paul Young. And he is one of the most loving, kind people I've ever met. He also is one of the most traumatized from his childhood people I've ever met. And he worked through it. He worked 11 years to come through to the other side. And his wife asked him, after this whole process, they survived this process, right? And it's very dramatic. You can go on YouTube and he tells his story, and it's just incredible. But his wife asked him to write something for his kids, his six kids, and The Shack came from that. And it was a Christmas gift. And it was, he took photocopies of it. They were just pieces of paper, and, you know, he gave them all to his kids, a couple of friends, and they started saying, yeah, you need to publish this. This is amazing. So Paul Young, and you've probably read it or seen it, he's got the Father, Holy Spirit, and Jesus in this. And the character has suffered a great loss, and it's like a black cloud that follows him everywhere. And I just want to give you a little background. If you haven't seen it, you really should, or read it. I would read it, but there's one part in there, though, that really changed my life. It showed me what I've been feasting on and where, and I'm just going to read it because he says it so clearly. This is where Jesus, and the character's name is Mac. Jesus and Mac are having a conversation, and Jesus says, where do you spend most of your time in your mind, in your imagination, in the present, in the past, or in the future? Mac thought for a moment before answering, I suppose I would have to say that I spend very little time in the present. Can anyone relate to that? I mean, maybe now we're a little renewed, but, you know, before, very little time. I could so relate to that. I spend a big piece in the past, but most of the rest of the time I'm trying to figure out the future. Does anyone live there? Not unlike most people when I, now this is Jesus talking, not unlike most people, when I dwell with you, I do so in the present. I live in the present, not in the past. Although much can be remembered and learned by looking back, only for a visit, right? We're not supposed to live in the past. Just look back for a visit. Not an extended stay. And for sure, I do not dwell in the future you visualize or imagine. Mac, do you realize that your imagination of the future, which is almost always dictated by fear or some kind, fear of some kind, rarely, if ever, picture me with you. Again, Max stopped and thought. It was true. He spent a lot of time fretting and worrying about the future, and in his imagination, he was usually pretty gloomy and depressing. And Jesus was also correct in saying that Max's thoughts of the future, God was always absent. And who does this? You know, I know for me, when I started a lot of my journey back to God, I lived in the past. And I'm going to just to tell you a little bit about my past and what I, isn't this lovely? This is my earliest memory. It was being in a dark house during a thunderstorm. And I was alone in the house. I must have been 4 or 5. And that's my first memory of fear. And I carried this memory. These were the eyeglasses I wore throughout my life. And I don't know that I've shared a lot of this. Loneliness and fear. I was alone, fearful. Can anyone relate to that, you know, from your past? Yeah, we carry this around and we look at the world with these glasses. And as I grew, shame came on top of that, right? The teasing and the whatever, you know, we go through life. I don't know if you guys, most people don't know this. My parents have been married 7 times to different people. My dad married 3 Lindas. He's in heaven right now, so I can talk about him pleasantly. But so I had a lot of change, a lot of trials, a lot of figuring things out on my own. We were never told we were going to move. My mom's idea of moving was pack your things in the laundry basket. We're leaving tonight. And so, you know, I remember being in the kid about 6 years old. I didn't know where we were going. We never knew. So anyway, a lot of loneliness and fear, shame. And then that translates from the past. It translates to how you treat the people around you. And it comes, it can come in the form of rage or anger. I didn't put that on here because that's for like the present. But yeah. And so then I had to deal with the regret of how I treated my kids when I had my kids. And yeah, so you see how a dark first memory can really shape your life. But there's ways to overcome it, right? God gives us ways how to overcome the past. And I'm so grateful the freedom that you get from overcoming the past. Right, he helps us. Isaiah 43, 18, 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. That's where I lived most of the time, dwelling in the past. I am doing a new thing. Is that not just beautiful? And, you know, spending that time in the vineyard, I really saw how God prunes, right? I mean, this is a lot of pruning. That's like most of everything I built my life around was really that dark house. That's how I looked at life. And he cut it off. When I was, you know, and I'm going to give you 3 steps, 3 steps to freedom. This is how I came to freedom. And this is like this message is to change your life because it changed mine. And anyway, so I love this image, the one before. I love that image because God's doing a new thing. And it starts out little, but it'll grow as we grow, right? Yes. Yeah, that's good news, right? Okay, so let's talk about these awesome 3 steps that I came up with in my life. And we're going to talk about the past, we'll talk about the future, and then we'll talk about the present. And like ideas of how we can change how we look at the past, right? Okay, so 3 steps. I started, and I did this with help. God didn't give me this. We were working with a pastor, my husband and I. I just wanted to be free. I didn't want my kids to experience the rage and the fear and the loneliness and the shame that I did. And they were. I was kind of raging. I was angry from all of that stuff. So I just wanted to be free. So I asked God, I'm like, where and when was I offended? Every time I was offended, I wrote it down. Doesn't that sound crazy? Every person that I had ever been with in my life, my mom, my dad, my brothers, my sister, my aunts, my uncles, all those stepfathers, all those stepmoms, all of my friends, I wrote it down. It took me 3 weeks to really, I was listening to God. He would bring it to my mind. Now, if he didn't bring it to mind, I just trust it's not the right time. I wrote it down. And then I prayed a prayer for each time, each offense, each person. I wanted to be free badly. I didn't want to be bound, and I was bound. I looked in the, at that point, I looked in the mirror. I just didn't like what I saw. I didn't like that person. I didn't want to be that person. That was that fear black house person, you know. I wanted to be the little tree growing. And the only way to get past it was to go through this. And I prayed this prayer, something like this. I have to look at it. I choose to forgive so-and-so for doing so-and-so, for causing me to feel shame, whatever, fear, hate, anger. I am willing to pay the price of suffering, even though I know Jesus paid it on the cross. I'll pay it through my life. I choose to forgive them. I know the government rests on your shoulders, Jesus. Thank you for restoring and healing me. Amen. That was the prayer. And I did it for every single offense. And do you know, at the end of it, my kids went up to the pastor and they said, who is this? This is not my mom. I mean, it literally healed me. The rage was gone. The anger. The loneliness. Now, I wasn't totally perfect, let me tell you. You can ask my husband. but it was a step in the right direction. I could actually look in the mirror and go, yeah, you know what? I'm starting to like this person. I think this person's got something going. And so what can we think about the past? Like, what should we, what shall we, what can we feast on about the past? We can remember our victories. That is one of my victories. It excites me to bring up that story because that's a different person. I'm a new creation. We can rejoice. Testimonies. We've seen a lot of healing testimonies. I had a thyroid disease. God healed it. We prayed for 7 years. God healed it. The endocrinologist was like, what happened? I'm like, we prayed. It went away. So yeah, we rejoice in testimony. You've all got them. Bring them up. That's how we remember the past. Focus on God's restoration. We've had relationships restored, my body restored. And you know what? I just want to speak a testimony right now. My hip is not in pain today. It feels so good. There's so much glory in the room that I'm like, something's different. I don't feel pain today. It's feeling so good, you know? That's it. That's how we can feast on the past. It's a great way to feast on the past. That's how they did it, you know? They built rocks. I mean, that's what they had back then. They would build a memorial and remember, what has God done? The other place I dwelt was, half was the past, the other half was the future. Can anyone relate to that? We don't know what's going to happen in the future, right? I don't know. For me, the future brought sometimes dread, fear again, because that was my go-to emotion, right? yeah. Dread, fear, and I know at different times I have really not known what things are going to look like, especially when it came to my kids. I had five kids. Everybody probably knows that. And my husband wanted two. We got twins. They were all boys. I wanted a girl. We had another one. And yeah, I know everybody wants to know. Four boys, one girl. It was the best thing we ever did. Right, babe? Yeah. He's okay with it now. He's like, which? He goes, I only wanted two kids. And I'm like, well, which three do I put back? And where do I put them? They're bigger than me. So, yeah. But the future, you know, you want your kids to do better than you. I didn't want them to have that image of a black house and shame and all that stuff. And I'd already kind of messed them up in their younger years with the rage. But, you know, they forgave me. I don't even think they remember it, actually. God is so good. He restores the years the locusts eat. Yeah, I'm telling you. But I remember we put our kids in Christian school, and they did something, you know, those kids. And they got caught. It was on video. Devastating. And they asked us to leave the school. So we were devastated. You know, I wanted good little Christian kids, little robots marching around. And that wasn't going to happen. They're just bigger than life kids, people who know them. And they're amazing and we love them. But I remember I had this battle going on in my mind. They wanted to go to public school. And they wrote a 13-page essay why they should go to public school. Both of them, these are the twins, my twins, yeah. And I don't even know if we still have those little essays. They were long and very drawn out, you know, we're reading page after page, what, you know, why they should, what are all the benefits, and anyway. And I was torn. I wanted to protect them. And I remember I've always had a big garden. Out in the garden, it was my place, me and God. I just remember crying. These kids, you know, my family is everything to me. And I just wanted to do it right. I didn't want to mess up, you know. And I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I'm just talking to him. And then he goes, what, you don't trust me with your kids? I'm like, holy crap. Oh, boy. I couldn't lie to him. I'm like, yeah, I really do. I don't, God, I don't trust anybody with my kids. I love those kids more than anything. I would do anything for those kids. And he's just like, you don't trust me, huh? He goes, that's okay. That's okay. I am bigger than that. I trust me. And I just felt that peace. I'm like, whoa, okay. That's the peace that passes understanding. And we ended up sending him to school. I just felt like God's got him. You know what? He can do better than I can do. He's got him better than I can do it. I'm doing my best. And yeah, so we sent him. They're all good. None of them. My fear was they'd end up in jail. I don't know why. That's crazy. But this is like, your future, like you're walking up a bridge. You can't see where the bridge is going to end. I mean, this is the ocean. You know the sand's on the other side, right? But you don't know if it's rocks or if it's danger. There could be a shark down there. You could go straight in the water. This is what the image I had at different times in my life, not knowing what's on the other side. And that's just plain scary. But guess what we can do? Guess what Scripture does say? We get to co-create with our Creator. He invites us in. The potter actually invites us into the process. We get to co-create. Isn't that exciting? That is like such good news. And as you do, Psalm 16:3, commit to the Lord whatever you do. And he will establish your plans. You get to work with him. He puts a desire in your heart. I wanted to sing, right? My whole life, since I was 5. Probably before that. And I would sneak to the piano, wherever we were. And very quietly, I would, if they heard me, they would be like, get off that piano. So I'd be very quiet. It's very sneaky. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I would find any piano book. I taught myself how to play. and sing. And finally, they got me a piano. My dad got me a piano as a baby grand. I had to tune it myself. Have you ever tuned a baby grand? Anybody? Three strings each note. It's a lot. But, yeah, and I used to play for my dad. He would sing. We'd play duet. We'd sing duets, and I'd play. And anyway, so I, that's always been in me. I get to co-create with him now. He lets me sing every Sunday. I mean, really? Makes me happy. So three things, three steps. Let's move on. Three steps for your future. It doesn't have to be scary, right? It doesn't have to be, you don't have to dread it. Imagine Jesus in your future. That's one thing I was forgetting to do. He's on the other side of that bridge, right? He's just waiting right there. It's not so scary. There's sand, there's water. I can choose to go in the water if I want, right? He gives me choices. He's not forcing me to do anything. This is the best one. This is where grace changed my life, right? Coming to Grace Fellowship as a broken little bird who wanted to sing and fly, they gave me words. All of you guys have given me words that I just cling to. I have them all. They're in my little word notebook. You know, some of the words have been like, you're the point of an arrow. You're the breakthrough. You start the worship. Another one was, I'm trying to remember. You're a pearl. You're a fine jewel. You bring the atmosphere of heaven. What are the words that have been spoken over you? That's what we cling to. When your future's looking scary, you look at those words and you go, yeah, but God says, I am the point of an arrow. When I walk in the room, it's electric. The Spirit is here and you're going to be healed. And I don't know what that looks like, but it's going to happen. And the testimony will speak for itself. And that's truth, right? You're declaring truth over your future. You're lopping off the lies. And you step right into that truth. This morning, I had the vision of stepping onto the water. Do you have the courage to take the first step into the onto the water and walk on water with Jesus? He's right there. He's right there with you. Right? Yeah. That is an exciting way to look at your future. There's good stuff coming because God is good. Okay, new ways. Hope, vision, and God's faithfulness. He has never let us down. Never let me down. Every time I think he's going to let me down, I review. Okay, remember? I remember my friend and I were praying. They were going to adopt a little kid, and right when it was going to happen, they lost the paperwork. And we're like, oh, man. We got on our knees. We started praying. Guess what? 7 a.m. the next morning, they call. They found the paperwork, you know. And I mean, call that what you will. I call that God getting on, you know. I don't know. He's faithful. And he's good, right? All right. So if we can deal with the past and we can deal with the future, can we be here? Are we okay to be here? Is there too much pain to be here? Is there too much hurt to be here? Because if there is, then we got to look here, or we have to look here so we can be here. Can anyone relate to that? Because when I was stuck back here, I couldn't think about the present. I was, you know, my emotions were, they were stuck. And I had to go through like 5 days of praying a forgiveness prayer over and over and over until I could get at least remotely to the present. But even in the present, you can get, right? disappointment. I thought my five kids would go to college. My husband and I went to college. I'm an engineer. Wouldn't one of them want to be just like us, you know? And Don's a recreation specialist, extraordinaire. He can do almost anything. We thought they would go to college. Well, none of them. You know, one of them went for a little bit, and they thought about it. And so I was a little disappointed. I had to kind of, you know, deal with that in the present. They're great kids. They've got their own careers. They're awesome. But they're not going to college. So I'm like, okay, we got to throw that idea away, right? Next. What about criticism? I know when you're a worship leader, you get all kinds of input. Why'd you pick that song? I mean, not here. I'm really, really not here. But I remember going up to somebody after singing at another church, and I'm like, I knew it didn't go well. You should never ask somebody, how did it go, if you know it didn't go well. And I was like, I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted somebody to say, it's okay. Oh, this person was not going to say that. She goes, yeah, wow, that was, whoa. I mean, she didn't have words, and I'm like, oh, man. So criticism, yeah, criticism is hard to take. And pain, right? Physical pain, emotional pain. I mean, there's lots of things we deal in the present. Little zappers about like a backhanded compliment, and you're like, whoa, that kind of hurt. Does anybody get those? Because we get them all the time. And you know why? Because people are still stuck in the past. They're in pain. They don't know how to just be present and loving. So we have to be loving. I know I joined the Rotary when pandemic hit because I was tired of sitting at home. I work from my home, still do. I teach my exercise classes from my home, same room. And so I had to, you know, and obviously I come here on Sunday. That's one day I'm out. And I joined Rotary, so there'd be 2 days, you know. So I joined Rotary, and I, as usual, I took over a few committees. That's just who I am. And I was in charge of doing the programs. And this guy, one of the guys, and these are, if you know about Rotary, these are high-powered people. You know, they're like presidents of their companies. And he didn't like the way, he was a high-powered attorney who's retired, but nonetheless, you know, in his head, he's just like up here, and I'm right here. And he did not like the way I was doing stuff, and he said he wanted a certain speaker. I was in charge of the programs, and I said, I don't think we're going in that direction. You ever hear that? And he didn't like that answer. He got so mad and just spewed. And I just, you know, I was just like this, which is, I've grown a lot. And I waited about a month, and then I called him, and I said, yeah, we changed our mind. We're going to go in your direction. And he goes, oh, great. And I go, would you like to handle that? So I passed it to him. And he did. He did a great job. At the Christmas party, he came up to me, and he goes, I just want to tell you, you handled that, you know, really well. And I said, well, I want to tell you, there's enough grace to go around. And you can share grace at any point. And, you know, he was just like, he's like, yeah, that is a good saying. You know, that's awesome. But present, that keeps us in the present. If we can just show grace and we don't feast on the offense, there's always some offense laying around. You could pick it up and go, yeah, and talk smack about them, you know, whatever. Or you can just you can pick it up for a sec and just lay it back down. Just say, no, I'm going to pick up the grace plate. Because there's so much more fruit when we do the fruits of this, you know, like when we feast on the fruits of the Spirit, there's so much more fruit. We found that with our kids. There's so much fruit when you just love your kids through all that stuff they go through. And you watch them, and it's painful, and they're in pain, and you just love them through it. So what can we do? How can we enjoy the present? Let's see what Scripture says. Matthew 6:34. This was the verse that I clung to when I had my thyroid disease. I started having thyroid issues after my twins, and I was on medication, and I was an engineer, and I couldn't think right. I couldn't do calculations. My boss started finding mistakes, called me into his office one day and said, "We're putting you on probation. You have 45 days to get your stuff, or 90 days, I think it was 3 months. You have 90 days to get your act together." And I'm like, "I don't even know what's going on." Don's like, do you check your work? I'm like, "Yeah." And so I went to a memory doctor to see. I wanted to document it, you know. And he goes, "Yeah, you're really smart. You're very intelligent. But yeah, something's going on." He documented. There is a problem with your brain. There's synapses not connecting. And I've been healed of this, so I'm just saying. I'm on the other side of this. But so they called me in one day out of the blue, and they said, "Yeah, we're firing you." They let me go. And this was the verse. All I could think of was telling my husband. I was so scared to death. I came home, told my first grader. My oldest was in the first grade. I go, "Don't tell Daddy. I'll tell him when he gets, I'll tell him." First thing out of his mouth, "Mommy lost her job. She was fired." Thanks. Really got my back there, buddy. I remember sitting on the bed. I'm like, "What am I going to do with myself?" I didn't know. Anyway, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own." That gave me so much peace. And the other one that says, "Even the lilies of the field are dressed nicely. God's not going to let us, you know." But I love this one, staying in the present, Psalm 118:24. "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Today is a gift. That's why it's called the present, right? Each day I get a gift when I'm wake up, my husband's right there, my kids are close, more kids than we would like to be close. We almost had an empty house, but they all moved back, so they're close, and it's good. 3 steps, how to deal with the present. We're all there, right? First one, be here now. Oh my goodness, I have to listen to this one constantly. I don't know if you know me well, but I am quite scattered. I am all over the place. I love being busy. But when my family, when someone, I'm talking to someone, I just look in their eyes and I just got to be here now, love them in that moment. Such good lesson for all of us. Get to their level. If it's a little child, we took care of our friend's kids. They went on a cruise. They'd been married for about 10 years, never been on their honeymoon. So we went on a cruise, and then they went on the exact same cruise. So it was awesome. I could tell her what to do, where to go, where to get the good food on the cruise ship. It was awesome. But we watched their little kids, 5 and 7. I want grandkids, but oh my gosh, we were exhausted. But getting down on their level and loving them. We had the Barbies and Don's playing trains and, oh, glorious time. They know, they love our place because they are important. We are here now. We didn't, for the most part, didn't have our phones out. So important. You get words from him, trust him. I had the privilege of leading a little class, a painting class with the women a little bit ago. And we talked about worship. And every Sunday, I just trust God. This is the song. I have no doubt. There is no doubt in my mind. I don't spend a lot of time, hours of prayer. I do not. I just whatever pops into my head, that's it. And, you know, I'll invariably have somebody come up and go, yeah, that really spoke to me. I go, yeah, that's God. We just trust. And then it fits exactly with the message, just like, you know, Psalm 23. It's just perfect. God's perfect. He does a better job than we do. Trust him. Because he's working, right? Believe he's working. Of course he's working. Even when we don't see it, he's working. He's got it. Just like my kids. I didn't trust him with my kids. Oh my gosh, I have the most amazing kids now. I mean, I told Don, we're not buying them birthday presents. They are making more money than we are. I am not buying them birthday presents. I'm sorry. There's nothing I can get those kids that they don't already have, you know, which is fun. Makes me happy. Yeah, very fun. Can you guys relate to these steps? New ways to feast in the present. We can look at our table set before us, right? God has a table before us. Our enemy is on the other side. He can't cross the table. That is good news. We can choose love, a plate of love and hope and joy, right? All the fruits. Courage for me. When fear was my go-to, guess what? Why courage keeps coming up in everything I do. I got to have the courage to step up. I got to have the courage to be me. And it's scary sometimes. Ask my husband, because when I'm me, he, you know, he's got to deal with it. And he does, and he has for 33 years. He's amazing. He's like my better half. Kindness. So important. Just to be kind. Gentle. Forgiveness. When those little zingers come, I don't have to pick that up. I can pick up forgiveness and just go, yeah, they're hurting. They don't know what they're saying. They don't know they're hurting me. They don't know that's a sensitive topic. I don't have to pick that up. Peace. Who needs more peace? We've got the jury's out on a couple of our kids. I love them. But the jury's out. I don't know what they're going to do. I don't know where they're headed. I don't know what's going on. I need some peace, Jesus. God's goodness, I just stand on it. I just know he's good. He's always been good to me. I know he's good for you. And if you don't believe it, I believe it enough for you. Because he's always been good for me. Good to me. Good for me, good for my people that are around me, my inner circle. It may not look too good right now. We got one kid with a bad transmission. You know, it's just like there's always something, right? God is good. He's always drawing. He's always wooing us into himself. And that's good. So good. So I have declarations that I would love for you to speak with me. And then I just want to share. I want to speak words over whoever would like a word today, later. I want to speak a word over you, a word of encouragement and peace and love, whatever God has for you. But yeah, so here it is. I want you guys, if you want to stand, stand. You don't have to, but I invite you to. And if you got a hurt foot, you don't have to stand. You are excluded. All right, let's say it together. I am whole and renewed. And then just do this. Like, bring in the wholeness. There is brokenness. Bring it back in, right? I might have left part of me somewhere. I'm bringing it back. It's coming back. God is a God of wholeness and renewal. He's renewing me and I am whole. Let's say it again. I am whole and renewed. Thank you. Next one. I rejoice in God's light and love. Yeah. We're surrounded. Did you know you're surrounded by Father, Son, Holy Spirit? They dance around you all the time, right? They're here with you. Let's say it again. I rejoice in God's light and love. Next one. I will thrive no matter what happens. This is Steve Beckland's. I stole it. Say it again. I will thrive no matter what happens. Awesome. That's good news right there. All right. Keep going. Jesus walks with me each day and lights my path. No fear there, right? That is confidence and courage. Let's do it again. Jesus walks with me each day and lights my path. Last one. I will feast on the fruit of the Holy Spirit each day as God moves me from glory to glory. And you know this is like my theme right here. Glory to glory. Let's do it again one more time. I will feast on the fruit of the Holy Spirit each day as God moves me from glory to glory. I just want to pray for you as a corporate body before we close. Jesus, I just lift these amazing, beautiful people that you created, that you had a vision for. And you do have a vision for each one of them, that you're co-creating with each one of them now, that you put desires in their heart, you put dreams, you put visions, and that you're going to see it to fruition because you're a good God. And we just seal those dreams, that there would be no dream robber stealing dreams, that the dreams would come more and more, and the visions would come more and more, and that they would realize each one of them, and you would be glorified in all of it. Yeah, we praise you. Seal that. Thou art a shield about these beautiful people, aren't you, Jesus? Yeah. In Jesus' name, amen.